We just have a few minutes remaining together. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. I want to read verses 9 through 21. And I started here a few weeks ago. We just kind of just got started, and we'll just get started a little bit more tonight with it. But this concept of dealing with evil and overcoming evil with good is something that we are starting to understand a little more clearly in Christianity in America, because there's so much hatred that's being spewed out against Christianity. I saw this major report that came out of Open Doors, which they posted online. This year, the 2018 World Watch List was released. To date, this year, 3,066 Christians have been killed, 1,252 abducted, 1,020 were raped or sexually harassed, and 793 churches were attacked. Now, just let those numbers soak in a little bit. Now, you might say, well, out of all the millions that are alive, 3,066 Christians killed, but this is supposedly in a tolerant world that we're living in. But how do you deal with that? How do you deal with increased hatred against Christianity? Well, this passage of Scripture helps us to understand how we're to live in an increasingly hostile world against Christianity. Beginning at verse 9, let love be without dissimulation or deceit. Now, I want to tell you something. Persecution will take the deceit out of your love quickly. It'll make it real quickly. It'll either cause you to go running into the world's arms, or it'll cause you to run into Christ's arms. But persecution has a way of purifying the intellect, purifying the attitudes of life, and it makes it real. Let love be without dissimulation or deceit. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing how in prayer? Instant in prayer. Boy, that's one of the great helps to the believer, is to quickly be able to go into the courts of heaven with your need. And the reason you can go quickly is because you've done it before. It's not something that's been a long time. It's something that regularly occurs in your life, where you just walk in the spirit of prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what are we to do? Feed him. If he thirst, give him something to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Now, this stands out as a very important verse in the context of what is being shared here in this passage. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's put it in common understanding. Don't be a victim overcome by evil, but instead, overcome the evil with good. This whole victim status mentality that's so prevalent in the culture today is anti-biblical. The Christian is to never, in times of oppression, in times of persecution, to see themselves as a victim, but rather step up to the persecution and overcome that evil with what? With good. That which is good. We get an example that's given to us. If our enemies hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, you're going on the offensive by the kindness that you exhibit toward the enemies of the Christian. This is so strange to us, is it not? We consider ourselves to be Americans, and nobody's going to step on us, and we're going to go after them, and we're going to get them. And sometimes we allow politics to rule over Scripture. Now, I don't think that we ought to be mousy and just let people run all over us, but at the same time, we've got a weapon that God says will work. And what is that weapon? It's the kindness of Christ toward the enemies that would come against us. We kill them with kindness. And God says, this isn't something that's just a figment of our imagination, but God says here, in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now you think about the expression that's used here, coals of fire. I've been burned a couple of times in my life. When we had a go-kart as a child, we had a long muffler that stood off the back, and it was a very strong temptation when it was cold to grab a hold of the muffler, and then we would use that to pull against, to pull the rope to start it up. But you don't do that when it's hot. And I reached on there one time, and I fried my hand. I had skin peeling off. It was hurting like fire. And I learned a lesson. Don't touch the muffler when it's hot. I slapped my hand on a stove or the oven one time, an old Sears and Roebuck oven that my mom had, and it had the big glass thing in there, and I was looking in there, and I put my hand on the glass while it was glowing hot, and I burned my fingers again. I was not a very smart child. But I did learn. I haven't done it lately. Okay? I haven't done it lately. Now, heaping coals of fire on someone by an act of kindness. Because you see, sinners, the culture, they use ridicule and persecution as weapons because they want to see you get angry and upset and retaliate. Then they have an excuse to just pour out their wrath on you because of your response. But they honestly don't know what to do with somebody that's silent before their accusers. Remember our Lord Jesus? He answered them not a word. He was silent. And they didn't know what to do with him. They were angered. Can't you just say something? They wanted to be able to say, we were just in our hatred that we spewed out against these because they retaliated against us. And we had no other option but to take them out. Jesus heaped more coals on the heads of the Gentiles and the Jews by his silence when he was being persecuted than he could have ever done if he'd have called the powers of God down upon them and delivered himself. We need to understand the principle here of not being overcome with evil. Don't turn into a victim, but rather overcome that evil with that which is good. And if you're confused about what is good, then I would just honestly say, would you read your Bible? You read that passage of Scripture, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. That's pretty clear. We don't retaliate in the way that they have come against us, because we'll lose at that point. How should we retaliate? Well, we come back with good. Because evil doesn't know how to deal with that. And God says, I can use that to heap coals of fire upon their head. Because when we get to eternity, and if they haven't trusted Christ, they go into the lake of fire, they will have that memory emblazoned upon their hearts and minds for all eternity. That's a sad thing to consider. But for the believer, we will receive rewards. Don't ever forget the cry of the martyrs in Revelation. We touched on that, about those saints that are given robes of white. And Jesus reminds them, it won't be long. It won't be long. And I'm going to take care of those that have taken your life. Their souls are gathered under the throne of God, and they cry out for recompense. Their lives cut short because of their witness for Christ. And God said, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I have robes of white for you. And there's a martyr's crown, by the way, for those that suffer persecution. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I believe that it's important for Christians to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I want to remind you of that again. You can get it on Kindle for free. Download it onto any device. And you can go to the app stores and be able to find it, or the Amazon store. You can find it for free. Download it. And I would encourage you to read. I have read that book several times, and I'm overwhelmed every time. That in those moments of intense persecution, there was kindness on the lips. When Lady Jane Grey, at age 16, was told to put her head upon the block, to have her head cut off. And she was a fine Christian young lady. She had trusted Christ. She began to feel around, and there was straw all around the area, and all she felt, she said, I cannot find the blood, because she was blindfolded. She'd been hooded, blindfolded. And so the executioner set his axe down, and he helped her over to where that spot. And you know what she did? She said, thank you, kind sir. Can you imagine that? Thank you, kind sir. Those words of kindness to that executioner. There have been several recorded statements that have been recorded about that man that was so moved that he cried as he executed her, had to cut her head off. He was so moved that he asked to be removed from the executioner's role because he didn't think he could do it again. Just a kind word. Thank you, kind sir. Listen, folks, we have to learn to use the weapons of heaven rather than the weapons of earth when it comes to the things that are coming our way, and they are coming. We're just one administration away from it. I want you to mark it down, folks. It's coming. And how we respond. It's easy to get on our little political soapbox and start screaming and yelling and all that kind of stuff. But I want to tell you, there's something more powerful. Let your love be without dissimulation. Let the love that you have be without deceit. Do you really love sinners? Do you really want to see them go to heaven? The angry mobs, do you want to see them go to heaven? Do you really? Is our love with dissimulation? I've had to ask myself some tough questions. You think about those people that are all down there, and there's no doubt some bad people in those groups. But every one of them is a soul that's going to live somewhere forever. I think sometimes we allow our politics to just completely overwhelm us, and we forget what our business is. And that's it. Now, leave that stuff up to the politicians, and we certainly want to support our country, but at the same time, there are people that need to be saved that are going to burn in hell. Do you care about those? God says, let your love be without deceit. Don't say you love lost sinners and your heart despises them. Don't ever forget, you're just a saved sinner. That's all. You're just a saved sinner. And I'm thankful that God, in His love, saved me. And I would hope and pray that I would have some measure of love in my heart for those that are lost, to see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I spoke to someone the other day that led a Mexican immigrant to Christ. Had the opportunity to talk to them about their soul, person that was an illegal. And they came to know Jesus Christ. Can you get past your politics and rejoice with a lost soul that gets saved? No matter whatever their circumstance is, don't ever, ever, ever let your politics destroy your purpose, Christian, why you're here. You're not here just taking up space till you finally retire and do all your stuff. You're here for a purpose. We're here to reach our kids for Christ. We're here to reach the children at Santa Rosa Christian School for Christ. We're here at the camp program to reach the kids for Christ. We've got adults that we want to reach for Christ. And sometimes our politics gets in the way and we lose sight of what we're here to do. And our love gets dissimulated. Everybody understand what I'm saying? It gets deceitful, all the talk about the love that we have for lost sinners. And yet we won't witness. We won't talk to our neighbor about the Lord. We won't take an opportunity that comes our way to share the good news with them. We'll say, oh, that's probably an illegal over there. I won't talk to him. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? When we put up those barriers and we refuse to give them the gospel of the grace of God, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Our politics is dissimulating our love. And we ought to be real and we ought to be genuine. God help us to have the right kind of heart when it comes to the lost people of this world. Father in heaven, I thank you for the truth that we have in your word. Lord, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be despised and hated because you were hated and are still hated even to this very minute. And Lord, you put us on the face of this earth and you've saved us by your grace so that we can tell others about Jesus Christ and live a godly example and to love those that despitefully use us and persecute us and say all manner of evil against us falsely for your name's sake. I pray, Father, that you would deliver us from politics and help us to think spiritually. Yes, we desire certain things. We want to see our country do what's right. But at the same time, that ought not to diminish our love for a lost and dying world. And remember that Jesus Christ died for every mobster, for every murderer, for every whoremonger, for every abominable creature on this earth. Jesus Christ loved them and died for them. And the least I can do is do what God told me to do, and that's to be a witness and testimony to them. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, change our attitudes, that we might line up with your word, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.